trying to remember when. Anyhow, maybe it was a week and a half ago or something like that. The Lord spoke very specifically to us, and it was when we were prophesying, and he said that he's placed his prosperity upon discipleship right now. So our hearts must be moving towards discipling, making disciples. And I'm not just talking about in spiritual things. I'm talking about being a people that we're making disciples, you know, in whether it's in family or it's in whatever, you know, in the prophetic, we're getting into this mode to where we can accept a harvest, because right now we can't do it.
That's right. So
what if that 10-year timeline that prosperous? Because if the Lord said to me that his prosperity is in discipleship, is that a 10-year time period of prosperity? I mean, I know it can mean all sorts of other things too. We know how cyclical the economic ups and downs are. But in the spiritual economy, the prosperity of being able to put in place the mechanism of taking in a harvest is now. It has to come before harvest, because right now we're in no position to disciple. We aren't there. And man, there is such an electricity. There's such a power coming from heaven right now to move into discipleship. And that's what I feel about. That's all I got on that. As you can see, I feel pretty strongly about that.
what is discipleship? I mean,
it's literally, it's taking the time to train people, to father them, to, you know, for the first time in my life, I committed to making a call for an hour to this young prophet the Lord had me call out in an audience in the Seattle area. And I picked him up, and he doesn't have any kind of fathering in the prophetic or anything in this gift that he knows he's had for a long time. He doesn't know how to use it. He doesn't know how to train in it. He doesn't have any of this, the things that would allow him to progress in a maturity with that gift and in his walk with God, outside of somebody stepping outside of their comfort zone and moving in a form of training, taking on the responsibility of that individual. Go ahead.
Talking more mentorship?
Yes, mentorship. But I'm also talking on a grand scale too. Obviously, you know, I'm still working towards, things are popping up all over the place as we're working towards getting a structure that we can implement with regards to training. Like for me, like obviously right now, I'm more focused on prophetic training, getting people to move in the prophetic, you know, personal prophetic ministry. But when people see, if we're going to bring people into the church, and then what are we going to do with them? You know, if you don't put them into purpose, if they don't have purpose, they aren't then duplicating themselves. You know, what does that become? Just becomes a stagnant pool of water. It's not a moving body of water, right?
So Jane, no? I see your brain working, Jane.
Okay.
How can you see my brain working?
I can.
He's a teacher.
Oh, so. there's so much to that, Josh. I mean, I'm just blown away about all the stuff that God's doing in this season. It's just overwhelming sometimes, everything that's happening. I'm sure everybody here can share something that they're sensing that God is doing. And I don't want to give my opinion. I'd rather hear from the Lord.
Okay, so what have you heard? What have you heard from the Lord?
I've heard a lot of things. I wrote about it in an article that was published recently. But when I first read your question about prosperity, the first thing that came to mind was seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. All seems pretty prosperous to me. But in line with what Josh is talking about, mentorship, he's been talking to me about that for a while now. And we really do need to do that. One of the things my grandfather taught me was that every person should have another person that they're following and a person that they're bringing up behind them. Every single person should have someone on this side and on this side, you know, like ducks in a row, someone to follow and someone to bring behind you. No matter how little you know or how much you know, you should have someone to follow and someone following you.
Sure.
And to me, that's mentorship. As far as what Josh is talking about, the prophetic ministry, there's been a lot of talk on the internet about the prophetic ministry being risen up again and being reestablished. How God's going to do that, I'm not sure, because people are sensing changes in that ministry. Maybe it's just for this season. I don't know. But I'm just watching. Watching and listening.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna see a lot of different changes and things in the way we are not used to. We're gonna have to adjust.
Anyone else have any comments about that? We were talking about discipleship, Mary. We were just talking about the tremendous need for discipleship. We were prefaced it by the fact that there's a coming 10-year time of prosperity, and Josh was saying that he is hearing from the Lord that prosperity is directed towards discipleship or conditioned honor. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. So we're just getting comments about discipleship and so on and so forth.
So I'd like to give testimony, if that's okay.
Sure.
So we went through 2 years of extreme battling and warfare, and we have just come out on the other side. Transitioning is over. We're now into a new season of birthing and building, and our finances was so terrible. I was not getting paid as a pastor. I mean, it was miserable. And through this summer, midsummer, something shifted. And we are now in a season where we are actually growing in prosperity. We're growing. We're watching our accounts just increase. And we are doing a discipleship course starting this week with Richard and Kimberly, their book. I'm taking this and I'm going to be extending it from 7 weeks to 14 weeks. And I was going to do it just for our church people, just to train our church people. Well, as of today, we have 30 students that have committed to it. 30. And it's not only in our church, but it's regional. I never advertised it. It's just by word of mouth. We have a range of baby Christians to solid, mature intercessors in the state of Vermont. They're all coming, starting this week, for the next 14 weeks to take this class.
Wow.
Wow.
This is such a wow. So I'm hoping, Wayne, Papa Wayne, that you can come to Vermont one Wednesday night and actually teach a live course.
Okay.
That's why I've extended it out, because I'm hoping to have some live classes, not just, you know. And but this is, to me, a sign and a wonder. It was like I could have never done this. I've tried many times to birth things that it just fell to the ground, and I am doing nothing, and we're watching our finances increase. The presence of the Lord has increased. Wow. And now this class is the actual discipleship that we're talking about. And 30 people. I thought I'd have max 10 people.
Wow.
And 30. So
look, can you see that right there? That's my heart leaping up and down right there. See there?
Yeah.
So we're out of the storm. We've crossed over. We had Kimberly and Richard come to our church, and they said, they both saw it. They said the angels, first of all, they said, this is the happiest that this building has ever been. And all of the angels have a smile on their face. They're happy. And they're just, and then there was this one angel that was sitting there, just watching, and Kimberly says, so why are you here? And what are you doing? And he says, I'm waiting for the genuine. So I believe that as we step into this new now, that there is going to be a thrusting of what we're going to see in the next 10 years as we're in Rosh Hashanah, an opening of this incredible new season. And so this has just happened like just in the past weeks.
Wow.
Overnight, supernaturally.
Wow. That was worth the whole call right there. That was good.
That's really, really encouraging. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
Josh, I have a question for you. Is it still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What part of covenant relationship and seeing and encouraging giftings is part of this discipleship you speak of?
Well, you know, I got really excited to spit that out there, and I don't know that I had all of the information to back it up to travel outside of my own little filter. So, you know, I have a propensity to see everything right now, season of my life, prophetically.
Mm-hmm.
So the prophetic is so important to me right now, or it's so focused right now, because it's so connected to hearing the voice of God personally in our life.
Mm-hmm.
By teaching and walking people through the prophetic, you're increasing their capacity to hear the voice of God in their own life. You know, you get what you give. You've heard that term before, right?
Yeah.
Well, when people are installed in a position of giving life and destiny and hope to other people prophetically, it comes back. So the very voice that they're using, they're listening to operate or function in giving hope to other people, is the very voice that they listen to get direction and to walk in relationship with the Lord on a moment-by-moment basis. We're talking about an age, we're talking about a time where we are moving into the practice of the presence of the Lord, where I literally, when I drive down the street, I say, Holy Spirit, you drive. Because I am consumed with the knowledge of Him.
Yeah.
To the extent that it doesn't matter where I'm going, the very first thing I am aware of is His presence. You know what I'm saying? And when that is cultivated, what happens is He is a talker. He loves to talk. And a lot of times I've heard it preached before, you know, he's not a talker, but when he says something, you should listen. He's not a person of many words. And that's hogwash.
That's true.
Hogwash. Yeah. You know, there's two things I've learned about the Holy Spirit over the years. Is one, he loves it. He loves us to watch him work. He's like, watch me. You know, and we see that in ourselves as little children. Where do we get that from? And then the other thing is, he's constantly talking to us. It's just our radios are turned up too loud. So we got the radio of food. We've got the radio of TV. We've got the radio of the political environment. We got the radio of our finances. We got all these radios that we've got turned up way too loud. If we would just start turning them off. But one thing I found out about the Holy Ghost is he never raises or lowers his voice.
Hmm.
he's always the first voice to me too. He's always first. He's always first. Because all the other voices, they come in to challenge it. They come in to question it because it's so powerful. So in the discipleship of what I'm talking about those of us who are mature in our walk with God, where we take on somebody and say, we begin to direct them towards understanding what's his voice and what's not. What conditions do you set up in your life to be able to walk in a position to learn his voice? Mm-hmm. What conditions do you subtract from your life to turn those stereos down so that you're creating an environment where you're walking in that peace and that prosperity of his presence? That kind of discipleship, just having sitting, if I was an ordinary individual that walked into a congregation in Texas somewhere, right? See, I just moved down there. Didn't know a single soul. But I went in there and in the back row of a 5,000 member church, I strike up a conversation with somebody. And we carry on a friendship. Then I have a by unction of the Holy Spirit, I know that I would have a desire and I would have a commission to do whatever I could to bring that person into a walk with the Lord that's much deeper than where they're at. Because somebody's going to have something that I don't have. I'm going to have something that they don't have. I'm talking about this culture of sharing and promoting the prosperity of the kingdom, which is his presence, which ultimately is obedience. Obedience we understand to be the practice of his presence. Nothing less, nothing more. When you are practicing the presence of the Lord, you are not disobedient. And it's greater than sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
In that, okay, in the practicing of his presence, in the prophetic. We all walk prophetically. Any of us that have heard the voice of the Lord, that this is a form. It's a form of that communication of the Spirit. How do we amplify that? Well, every single one of us is different. Every single one of us hears the Lord in our own special way. And the promotion of that, as we share that, it's like we become stronger against the disease of the human condition, which seeks to isolate us.
Yeah.
It's trapped in our intellect. I didn't even know what your question was at this point.
I'm glad I asked it. I, about three, four, I don't know, 6 months ago, was asked to teach a prophetic class.
Okay.
And I went, who, me? And so I prefaced it with this small group of people that we would be learning together, because I learned more in study and teaching and listening to encourage those. And now they're prophesying. Mm-hmm. And every time we meet, there is such a precious anointing. Not because of anything I've done or they've done. It's just because we've gathered in his name. Mm-hmm. And it's really sweet. So thank you for answering my question the way you did, because I can relate to everything you said.
Awesome. Cool. that's awesome.
Now, I want to just quickly, we just lost Peggy. Bye, Peggy. I wanted to give a testimony from another point of view that you're talking about discipleship. You know, when Jesus, when they come back from the and met him at the well, he said, you know, they tried to give him food and he said, I have food you know not of. Mm. He had just finished talking to that lady. She was going into the town. And they, you know, the whole town was going to finally be discipled. And so he's talking about the fact that, you know, put your food down and start looking around you because the harvest is ready. And he has that whole talk about the harvest is ready. You know, I'm more interested in eating that than the food you just brought out. Okay, so, you know, two testimonies real quick. One, As a result of teaching on Sunday morning, you know, somebody in our church asked to do a Bible study in their house, and so we started doing that. And it is not a Bible study. I tried the hardest I could to do a Bible study. I started with Romans. We got through, you know, a half a day of Romans, and it turned into what you're talking about. It turned in, without it even trying, into a discipleship group. You know, coming to the place what our destinies are, beginning to speak in people's lives and getting people at the table to speak into each other's lives. And, you know, it takes 2 hours, and those 2 hours go quicker than anything I've ever been at. I mean, we're suddenly awakening. People are awakening. They're awakening. They're declaring. They're announcing. They're speaking into each other's. It isn't my Bible study anymore. It's a discipleship run by the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of the MC, so to speak. Okay, so another thing happened. I got friends in the past who called me up, and they just out of the blue, and they wanted to meet, to come to their house. They used to be a part of our church a long, long time ago. I just came to their house. So we went to their house, and they said, we're really looking for mentorship. And I said, well, why are you asking me? And because we haven't talked in a long time. And she said, well, Holy Spirit just told me to call you. Okay, so there was four of them, three of them there that night, one was missing. So we sat in the back room after dinner, and I said, what do you want? And they were, you know, just kind of generally, we're just really, you know, we feel a call to Albany, but we don't know what to do with it. And so I started just opening up and sharing. I said, well, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to, and I just shared for about 15 minutes. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because the three of them turned to me after I finished, and they said, we've been going to church for 15 years, and you just said in 15 minutes something we've never heard. Now, I forget about me. I'm not turning my horn here. I'm just simply saying, I started talking about destiny. I just started talking about the very things that Josh was talking about, just to sharing those things in a very offhanded way. And those guys all said to me, we have been so desiring this. And I'm just, my testimony to everybody here is there's a real hunger out there for this. There is the church is not discipling. It's doing stuff, but it's not discipling.
Right. And
discipling in the sense that Josh was talking about, where we get away from a teaching, where we get away from some theology, we get away from some doctrinalizing, and we get to the place where we're activating our destinies. We're activating something inside of us that the Holy Spirit's been waiting to do for the longest time. And there is a monstrous hunger out there. It's just not happening, which I think is the reason you got 30 people. And I think, Sue, before you finish, you're going to have twice that, if not three times. And, because once the word gets out that real discipleship is taking place, and not another class, not another church thing, not another book thing, and not another blah, 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 people are going to flock to it. They're going to come to it because there is a fantastic hunger for this.
Yeah. It's obvious.
Yep.
So there's a piece of history in the book of Yasher, especially, that speaks of the discipleship of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that it's a small phrase with a big meaning, and it says that each one of them went to the home of Shem, the son of Noah, and Eber, to learn the ways of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a mystery that is in that phrase, especially when you think about the depths of discipleship. They went there to learn the ways of the Lord. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody talk like that in the modern church today.
Yeah.
Because I think that people would be threatened, especially teachers and church leaders would be threatened, because they of fear not knowing that. I mean, I don't mean anybody here. I mean, you know, in the church, in the broad sense. But if you stop and think about it, to learn the ways of the Lord. Now, Shem, being the son of Noah, was responsible, and his grandson, I think it's his grand, I think Eber was his grandson, maybe even great grandson, but the idea that they went for years. I'm talking Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all went three or more years and lived with them in order to learn the ways of the Lord, not Eber's ways, not Shem's ways, but the ways of the Lord. I think that's worthy of some thought, you know?
Yeah.
Speak, Jane.
I'll forever hold your peace. I mean, if you think about it, if you just even look at the disciples, I mean, Jesus was our example. He didn't sit in a classroom. He did the stuff, showed them how to do it, and then they went and did it. I mean, he didn't sit and have seminars and conferences and classes and teachings and all that stuff. He just did the stuff, showed them how to do it. Now you go do it. And I think, Josh, when you're talking about the prophetic, back in the 90s when we were doing a lot of prophetic classes, that's what we did. And it worked. And there was a whole group of prophetic people throughout New York State. But that's what they did. We sat in a home group and we practiced.
Mm-hmm.
We practiced our gifts. And then we went out and did it. We went out to the streets. We went to fairs. We went to concerts. And we did dream interpretation at psychic fairs. And things like that. And just did it. I think we sit in classes way too much. And I think people are sick of that. They're tired of teaching and words, and they want to do the stuff. They know there's more, and they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's consuming culture. Jane, I know exactly what you're talking about. In my time frame, it was like that, too, going down into Ybor City and prophetic evangelism, pulling somebody out, you know, that's sitting outside of a discotheque and telling them their destiny and exactly. You know, stuff like that. And it becomes a culture. More importantly than anything, it becomes a culture. You're like, if we were to break our life up into the category of a week, your week becomes consumed with work, but then you're interacting with people and the Lord's involved with those interactions. But then when you're outside of work, you're doing things with regards to your church family and ministry and growing in the Lord and hearing the voice of the Lord and that output that's going on. And I just remember those were the most exciting times in my life.
Yes.
What a joy to be alive. It didn't matter. Didn't matter what I was making per hour. It didn't matter what my job was. It didn't matter what my destiny was or anything like that. You were just living, you know? Yeah. And man, yeah.
You missed it.
Yeah, I miss it too. I really do.
Now, one of the things I wanted, as you're talking, I wrote it down here because it's been on my mind, the fact that when you're talking about prophetic ministry, there's something that when Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, he mentioned something that's kind of disregarded. Towards the end of what he said he's the Spirit of truth, and he will come and he will reveal all things, and he will speak of me, he will reveal me to you, and he will guide you into me. And then he said, and he will tell you things to come. Now we put that in a category of, you know, futuristic stuff or anything like that, but I believe the Holy Spirit's been waiting 2,000 years to activate that. I believe there's an excitement in the Holy Spirit in the fact that what he wants, part of discipleship, his discipleship of us, is to begin to give us ears to hear things that have to do with things that are coming, things that are not yet, that are about to. And it's not just general stuff like, you know, shift and this and that. Very, very specific things about specific people, about specific places, the areas that we're in. I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to begin to activate that in us, and it's going to get done in prophetic discipleship, where people are quickened to begin to speak, and this ability to speak into the future. I think it's a very important thing that God wants to give us. Yeah, go ahead.
To be able to speak into the future, you got to be able to hear what God is saying.
That's
like
right.
Josh is saying, a lot of people don't think they can hear God, even today. A lot don't think they can hear God, or that they can prophesy, or that they can tell what's coming in the future. And the best thing to teach people is to get into God's presence. Get into His presence, and that's where you're going to hear.
That's right.
If you get into His presence, you'll learn everything.
Yeah.
You know, he'll equip you for whatever you need to do. He'll tell you what's to come. He'll tell you what to do and what not to do. He'll give you the plans and the strategies. Everything that you need is there for you. All we have to do is go. Sit at His table. He says, come to me. He's sitting there at His table waiting. You know, we're complaining and wondering how to do things, and He's sitting there and He's saying, I can help you.
Yes. And so discipleship becomes a lot simpler than we think it is.
Yes. Yeah. Just go to God.
That's right.
You have not because you ask not.
Right.
You ask amiss.
Yeah. Amen. Hi, Deborah. How are you? Not hearing your voice.
I am fine. How are you?
How are you? It's nice
to see you. Hi, everybody.
Good to see you, Deborah.
Anyway, we're discussing discipleship. And,
Yeah, I was just I just had a conversation with Norma Aguilar. She's y'all probably met her at the convening there in Albany at Hope Chapel. But anyway, she prays for me all the time. So I called her the other day, and you always want to make sure you clear your calendar when you talk with Norma. So she was telling me, you know, she's been interceding for her whole life, which has been long. And she decided she wanted to go learn some things about intercession. So she got into contact with some people down there in Arizona somewhere. And I'm not sure where, and it was the Chinese church came and was doing this, conference or seminar on intercession. And she said, Wayne, she says, this is the strangest thing. I went down there to see what I could learn. And she said, these guys stood on the platform, and they're in business suits. They look like businessmen or something from China. And they had these little towels, and they put them down on the floor, and they got on their faces, and they called out to the Lord for hours until the towels were filled with the wetness of their tears.
Wow.
That's how they taught intercession.
Wow, that is it. How many takers would we have?
That blew me away.
Wow.
Now there's some discipleship for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Mary, I was wondering if you had any thoughts. If you don't, that's okay. This was about what we're talking about.
Well, I'm kind of new at this. This is my first conference call that I've joined. Yeah, I really care about discipleship. It's deeply in my heart. And I liked what I was hearing y'all say about the coming alongside, and that the doing life together, that it's more than a classroom experience. It also takes, okay, honestly, with discipleship, it requires a degree of openness and vulnerability about who you really are and what's really going on. You can't paint the theological thing and walk away. And it involves love. it involves caring about what's going on in other people's lives. So I guess those are just a few comments on, I guess I could tell you, in about a week, I'm going to be leading an alpha course. I don't know if you know what that is, but for the first time down in Tacoma, and I've been down at Tacoma Community College passing out flyers and inviting the students to come to the alpha course. And so it's an opportunity, it's a course, right? It's a classroom experience, but yet the hope is that it will also become community for people who are not connected, and that we can go from there to more and deeper. And so I'm anticipating that, making plans, thinking about it, and telling myself, okay, just relax. You can do this.
What is the Alpha Course? Can you tell me a little bit about the Alpha Course?
Yeah, it comes out of Europe. It has been used for at least 10, maybe 20 years even in Europe. It's a program of evangelism and very basic discipleship for people who are not familiar with Christianity. And much of the material is free and it's online. So you can access these fabulous videos that go about, oh, they have a, you can do it as short as 8 weeks. Their preference is to make it more like a 12-ish week course, along with an alpha weekend. And they teach things like, who is Jesus? And they go through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They talk about healing. But people use this material, and those who are not charismatic might leave out the baptism of the Holy Spirit class, and those who want it, put it in there, etc. So it has flexibility about what different groups want. So therefore, there are Catholics using it, various diverse groups using it. I know about it because the person heading up the church plant that I'm helping with, he came from Europe. And so he saw the Alpha Course advertised at one point all over the city, on buses, on buildings. Everywhere you turned, he said, there was Alpha Course being advertised. And it is lesser known in the U.S., but there are some churches that use it. And yeah, if you get interested, you could check it out online by just searching for Alpha Course. And you can look at all their materials. It's amazing how much they have.
We used to use it in the 80s. We used it in the church in the 80s.
Okay.
We did the buses thing. There was a real push there in Seattle with all the pastors you know, most of the pastors in the, at least that we hung out with, were doing that. And we did the whole big advertising thing. It's a beautiful thing. It really is it's pretty cool.
It is a high quality program. They've revamped the videos. So they have newer ones now that are more updated, but they have the old ones available too. They have an alpha youth course and an alpha course for adults. And it's really fast. Beautifully done, actually. The materials are excellent. So anyway, yeah, that's there.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you see what Wayne's got in his hand? Anybody got any comments about that? You know what it is?
The Oracle.
Isn't that heresy book?
Yeah. I'm almost to the end of it. It's, I don't even want to get into it. It's like, you know, another phone call away. I took Kevin to the airport this morning at 4 a.m. And I just said to Kevin, I said, in 67 AD, Rome decided to destroy Jerusalem. And they entered into a campaign. It was fully destroyed in 70 AD, but that's when it started. And if you just start measuring, what is it? 50 year, what do you call it? 50 year,
Jubilee.
You start measuring jubilees. Okay. So all I said to him, I said, just jump forward in history to 1517, that's when the land of Israel was destroyed and desolate and nothing for all these years. And then in 1517, the Ottoman Empire, you know, gets it through battles and all this other kind of stuff. Seven jubilees later, in 1867, you know, two guys, Mark Twain and somebody else, meet in a hotel. They don't know each other. They meet at the very same day. They go out. One declares a prophetic declaration over that whole thing. It's desolate. It's empty. It's dying. The other goes out and discovers the real Jerusalem and starts digging it up. You go on and on. And you jump 50 years from there to 1917. And that's when Truman or somebody else made a declaration that Israel is now going to become a nation. You jump 50 years ahead of that, and it's 1967. That's the six-day war, whatever it is that they go through. You jump another 50 years, and you get to Trump in 2017 declaring Israel's change. You start. And I'm saying all of this to say, I'm giving you like a nothing of an insight into this book. Every one of those things have things that are happening that very day, at that very time, at that very moment, all across the world. And they're all reflected in a scripture that goes back into the Old Testament. And step by step and line by line, you see this thing unfolding where God has a plan. If y'all haven't read this book, you need to read it. Just for one reason only. You just suddenly become, God becomes so big, so incredibly, monstrously big, and wonderfully merciful. Has anybody got any other comments on this book? Anybody read it?
It's coming tomorrow. In the mail.
I haven't read it, but there is information about that online that I've read before. The same jubilee and
it is a tremendous history lesson for us.
It is.
For Israel and Jerusalem. It really is. It's stuff I thought I knew a little bit. I now figured out I don't know anything. And and it has really educated me as to how God has God did what he did, you know.
Yeah,
it's crazy cool. Mm. You know, it's just crazy cool. I've always taught the Christmas story very similarly. I mean, you can do the same thing with the Christmas story. There was no other time that Christmas could have happened. I mean, when the birth of Jesus could have happened. All of the circumstances are like this, and I've been teaching it similar, teaching the Christmas story similarly that to the way that Jonathan Cahn is doing Jerusalem, and when you see those things, it's spectacular. God is so very, very big when you look at how what he did to bring it about. I mean, it was no accident. And people doing and saying things that they had no idea what they were doing or saying, but Isaiah said it and said they were going to say it.
Yes.
Sometimes their names meant what they were doing, what Isaiah or Jeremiah said what they were doing. Yes. It's a pretty astounding set of, and it's done in a story pattern. So you're not, it's not boring facts of history given. It's a back and forth conversation between a guy and the guy that's called the Oracle. He tells him what his dreams mean, what his visions mean. And so that's just to make it sound interesting. But I tell you what, he's got all the facts in the back. You can go look it up. You can see that what he's telling the guy is the real deal. The storyline is fictitious, but the facts are real.
So I have a question. I have a question for everybody on this call right now. Okay, so is it possible that you personally, not you in general, you very specifically, you are written into scripture?
Good question.
Yes.
Is it possible that, and I'm not saying you just pull out a scripture and say, well, this applies to a million people, and so therefore it applies to me. No, I'm talking about Susalami. I'm talking about, you know, Jane, I'm talking about you specifically are written into history, written in, you're in there. And could it possibly be that part of the revelation that the Holy Spirit is giving us in this is that he has some revelation for us that we are actually a part of of the very history of the world, not just little old me doing my little old thing in some little place. And you know, when I stand before him, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. All of that's wonderful and great and going to happen to everybody that's on this call. But could it be? Could it be that we're, this is, I don't know. I believe that's the case. I'm reading this book and I'm saying it's entirely possible every one of us sitting right on this call are written right there.
Yeah.
Not as a part of a group. I'm talking about you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just, my curiosity is up. It's like, my God, are you that big, God? Are you that big that you wrote us into history and we are part of you fulfilling history? The other thing about this book is it's so the opposite of God in control. It's not God in control. These people all make their choices. They go their places. They do their thing. God doesn't manipulate these people one iota, but yet everything is fulfilled to the letter within the confines of their own freedom. It's amazing. It's read the book, but you know, I've got a greater question. It's like, you know, is there something about the Word of God deeper than we possibly ever could imagine?
Yes.
There's hidden manna.
There is
hidden manna. And hey, you know what? That very scripture is the scripture I brought to a lady. And I boldly, probably heretically, said, I think God wrote you into that scripture. That very scripture you just said, because that's in Revelation. That's one of the churches and one of the benefits of overcomers is this hidden manna, your name on a stone, and you know, this whole thing. And I believe the Lord spoke me, told me to tell this lady, that's yours. That is, he wrote you into that particular scripture. And she started, you know, well, whatever. I don't even want to go off that. I just really, it's interesting. Somebody just said that. So, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, here's a question. I got a question. Why were we born now? You know, it kind of ties in with that, you know, for such a time as this. Why now? Why not 50 years ago or 50 years from now?
Yes. Okay, so let me do something right now. Okay. Somebody said, always leave them hanging, leave them wanting more. And so we're touching on something that I personally would love to spend the next 4 hours talking about. But we're gonna end our time right now because we are past our time. We're going to, together, without getting holy and bowing our heads and going into any kind of thing, we're just acknowledging that the Holy Spirit has, I see the Holy Spirit taking his needle and knitting it through Ariel, through myself, through Wayne, going through every one of us. He's knitting his needle through us right now. Kind of pulling us together into a tapestry and speaking over our hearts right now and declaring something to us. And so we receive that Holy Spirit. We receive that you were enjoying this conversation because you were the inspiration behind it. You're the one who's leading it. You're the one we celebrate. And we just open our hearts right now to the fact that we're still in kindergarten. We're still in kindergarten, Holy Spirit. Take us into first grade, because I can't wait to find out what you have to say to us, the more things you have to lead us through. Anyway, bless you all. Thank you for our time together. We will do this again, every one of you. You are loved, and we appreciate your love and blessing. And amen, amen.
Bunches of love to y'all.
Awesome. Hey.
That was fun.
Bye, thanks.
Excellent time.
For coming by.